Our scripture today is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 36b to 48. If you do have a Bible in front of you, I encourage you to read along. Or, of course, you got the screen here. You can read along. But before we start, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance to be in your word. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit, we are not left alone in this world, but we are being led and guided into the places that you would have us go. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive what it is that you have for us, that in doing that, your name is praised in our lives. Also, Lord, we pray for the expounding upon the word, that it is truly and only for your glory, and that you use it as such that we may know you more. We thank you for your glorious love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Luke 24, verse 36b to 48. Hear now God's word. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Repentance and forgiveness. So let me set the scene here, as the Bible has already said it. So Luke is kind of unique to the other Gospels. Now, when we talk about the Gospels, the synoptics are the words that we use. The synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptics mean similar. So those three Gospels have similar stories. They're very similar in what they share. Where John is kind of the outlier. John is different. John has a different focus and has different stories, different scriptures, that sort of thing. But even amongst the synoptics, Luke is a bit of a unique book. You see, when you're done reading Matthew, you're done. When you're done reading Mark, you're done. When you're done reading Luke, however, you're not done. Because then Luke, the author who wrote Luke, also wrote Acts. Now, this is significant because when a person writes a letter, it's usually the first sentence in their letter and the last sentence of their letter that are the most important. The first sentence in the letter talks about what they're going to say. You know, it's the introduction sentence, the thesis statement. Where the last sentence kind of sums up oftentimes what that thesis statement is about. Everything in the middle serves to strengthen it and explain it in that. But those two sentences, when I was in seminary and we had to read hundreds of pages for homework, I would always read the first and last sentences of like every paragraph. And I squeaked by. You know, I kind of understood what was going on. Luke, however, we're in the 24th chapter, which is the final chapter of Luke. Now, Luke saves the last teaching of Jesus for the last. That's to be the most important. If this were in Matthew, it would end the story. But being that it's Luke, this last teaching here that we're going over transitions over into Acts. So So this scripture that we're reading, what we're going to focus on today, hinges to the rest of the story, connects the rest of the narrative. Acts, of course, is about ministry into all the world, all the nations, and we're going to talk about that in the scripture. Jesus, however, shows up in the middle of a room. He says to them, "Don't be afraid." I love how he opens up, "Peace be with you." Of course, they'll need it. They probably missed their shorts because Jesus just showed out of nowhere. He's dead, or supposedly so. And you don't expect someone who just died in front of your eyes to show up again. It's not within common human experience. Jesus shows up. He says, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, appropriately so. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Here's the holes in my hands, the holes in my feet, the holes in my side. Frankly, if I saw my friend's holes in his hands, holes in his feet, and holes in his side, I would still be startled." But he's trying to say, you know, flesh and blood, not a ghost. They're still afraid. They're amazed, but they're wondering, disbelieving. Jesus says, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him broiled fish. It must be some unwritten rule, written in a book somewhere that I've never read, that ghosts don't eat food. So he ate food to prove that he's alive. Now, one thing I love preaching about to Methodists is about eating, because Methodists know how to eat. We know how to have a potluck dinner. How many of you, you can raise your hands if you want to confess. You don't have to. How many of you at one time in your life or another have talked with your mouth full of food? Because we just find the need to talk when we're eating. Eating is not just about sustenance, it's about fellowship. It's about being with one another and enjoying one another's company. And so when Jesus is eating the broiled fish, he's just not like, good. But they sat down together. They had a meal. They're getting reacquainted with the friend they thought that they lost. And now is with them once again. It wasn't just the act of eating that convinced them that Jesus is alive. It was also the act of the fellowship, that prolonged table talk that helped them realize that Jesus was alive. Having now their attention, Jesus shares with them his final teaching. It's almost final. He talks about the Holy Spirit later, but that's for another day. He shares with them the final teaching. "These are my words that I spoke to you." And then he opens their minds and he says this. "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." This is that hinge to all the nations that leads us into Acts, which is about the building of the church. But I find this repentance and forgiveness piece quite interesting. It's not the whole story, the repentance and the forgiveness. When we think about Jesus and what it means to be followers of Christ, and what it is Jesus offers us, it's so much more than repentance and forgiveness, isn't it? We can think of Advent in the big four. Hope, love, joy, and peace. We receive those through Christ. Through our prayers today, we prayed for perseverance and strength. We receive those for Christ. But Jesus, in his final teachings to his disciples, after had taught everything else, focused on these two things. Repentance and forgiveness. They're not the first two things I think of. Again, love is what I think of first. Let's look at repentance for a second. I chose the wrong slide. I'll be honest about that. The person in the slide has a kind of a repentant look to him. Head bowed, praying to God. When we think of repentance is a time to change one's life around. To give up all those things in their lives that are sinful and harmful and wrong, and to just get them out. The other slide that I saw I should have picked was a U-turn, a horseshoe turn. That's repentance. Changing the direction of your life. You're going down this wrong path, but repent and turn up another path. A better path. I think the Catholic Church has a really nice act that they do that kind of goes in lines of repentance. They do it in a little booth in the back of the church. Probably know what I'm referring to. It's called confession. Confession is an important part of repentance. Confession is a time where, with the priest, but I don't believe it needs to be with just the priest. You can find someone in your life whom you love and who loves you, and you can confess. To share those things in your lives that you have done or that you're holding on to that you need to let go of. You need to get out of your system. Some of the best priests who do confession, instead of giving things like Hail Marys and Our Fathers, they tell them things that they should do. Go see a psychologist. Go turn yourself in. You know, these sort of things to really help bring home that confession. Confession reminds me a lot of vomiting. Now, I already shared with many of you that in my family, we vomit in all different ways. I won't revisit that again, just to say that when I vomit, it's a full body experience. I am loud, I am gross, and you think I'm going to die. Sometimes I think I'm going to die in the midst of vomiting. It's exercise in my gut, and I'm exhausted when I'm done, and my wife is happy that I'm done. But I'll tell you this, I'm happy that I'm done too. Vomiting, from a scientific point of view, does something very interesting. Not only does it get that bad stuff out, but it also actually releases endorphins in the brain. How many of you actually enjoy vomiting? Don't raise your hand. I don't even want to know if you enjoy vomiting. Nobody enjoys vomiting. At least, I mean, that's how I feel. Maybe someone does. How many of you feel really good when it's done, though? I do. When I get that stuff out, oh my goodness, I feel good. It energized, in fact, until the next vomiting session. Repentance and confession is the spiritual act of vomiting. It's that getting out of that poison, that darkness, that shame, that guilt, that pain that we've been carrying around for so long, and getting it out of our lives, letting go of it. It hurts when it comes out. It's painful. It's not comfortable. It's not a thing of enjoyment. But once it's out, our lives can change. We can feel better. We can start to heal. And forgiveness is a time where once we get all this darkness out, someone says to us, and in this case, that someone is Jesus, says to us, I love you. I've always loved you. Even the things you've told me, I still love you. And I get rid of those things and I throw them away. No longer keeping them with you, but to get rid of them forever. Repentance and forgiveness is what Jesus once preached to all the world. And I tell you, there's no time like now to start preaching repentance and forgiveness, or at least living it. Because as Christians, we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Little Christians. This world is not built on repentance and forgiveness. It's built on this distorted form of justice that can be summed up in the phrase, eye for an eye, what you do for me, it's only just that you get the same. It's not built on repentance and forgiveness. The truth about repentance and forgiveness, this is not fair. I committed a sin. I repent of it. I'm forgiven of it. I don't get what I deserve. Jesus forgives me. Saves me from the damnation of that. And being imitators, being little Christians, being imitators of Christ, we're supposed to do the same for others. when they confess, ask for forgiveness, though we've been seriously hurt, to forgive, to not give back what's deserved, but to give instead love, hope, joy, and peace. Being repentance and forgiveness is at the end of Jesus' teaching. It's almost like repentance and forgiveness is the tip of the spear, the thing that we're supposed to lead with, the thing that we're supposed to share most readily. And then in doing that, the rest of the spear is the delivered, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace. I pray that we as a church are challenged every day by Jesus to share that repentance and forgiveness, and to also proclaim to others that through Christ they can find repentance and forgiveness. Share with you this final benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.